What do you think that was about?
I don't know. You're in control.
No, that's not what I meant.
What?
That's a lot of metals.
That's a lot of metals. I just, you know, why all of a sudden has it taken this long?
So those were all legitimately won medals?
Yeah. World War II veteran.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, we'll have to see what Senator Johnson has to say about that.
Sure, he wasn't involved.
No, but he might have an opinion. He usually does. Thank you very much, sir.
Mm-hmm.
This is your Friendly Neighborhood Radio talk show host, Glenn Klein, and he is incumbent U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you doing?
I have no complaints, sir, but thank you for caring enough to ask. How are you?
Real good.
Where are you?
I'm in Oshkosh, ready to hit the road on the campaign here again today.
Where are you headed?
We're going up in the Green Bay area, and then we're going to do the millionth door knock of millionth voter contact of this election cycle. So I'm going to knock on that door, and then head through Sheboygan. And you know, as I'm traveling around the state, particularly in the campaign, we're really concentrate on regions and really do an awful lot of stuff in a particular region, as opposed to bopping all over the state on a particular day. So today is kind of the Green Bay, Northeast Wisconsin region.
How have you kept track of a million contacts? Who did that
for
you?
Well, good thing we've got computers nowadays. So it's actually pretty easy to do with computers. Glenn, I'm a business guy. We use computers a lot, and it's the political process is finally getting around to it.
You going to stop by Packer practice?
Not today.
Yeah, Speaker Ryan was at the Packers practice the other day.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he told the reporters that were there, no Donald Trump questions.
And there
they,
you go.
And they, you know, I would really.
I was down at Racine County Fair on Saturday with Paul, and we had the traditional goat milking contest, which he kind of dusted me up last year, but I kind of learned the technique, and so I beat him by a whisker this time. So had a good time down at Racine.
How do you train for that?
You don't. Yeah, you know, listen. I my parents grew up on farms, and so I've actually milked cows in the past, so I actually knew the technique. Goats are a little bit different, and then the hardest thing is you have to do it into a little Coke bottle. So that's the biggest challenge, is getting the stream in the little bottle top.
He's pretty competitive.
That was the strategy I didn't realize last time.
So it was a learning experience, a learning curve.
It's more of an aiming process. That's the contest, is aiming the milk stream, as opposed to getting it out of the udder.
Well, I would like to have this interview be a Donald Trump free zone, but you know I can't, right?
Well, I thought we already were starting down that road with the goat milking contest.
It's a very good point. He is Senator Ron Johnson. This is Glenn Klein on Community Conversations on WRJN. So at what point do you renounce Donald Trump as your party's nominee? What would he have to do for you to say, you know, I just cannot support this guy?
Well, first of all, I'm not in the business of renouncing. What I'm in the business of is trying to get results. And, you know, bringing an outsider business person's perspective into this job as a United States Senator, what I've been trying to do, and I think been quite successful doing, is try and find areas of agreement. You know, I did a lot of negotiating when I was in business. I didn't sit down at a negotiating table, start arguing right off the bat. I would lay out all the areas of agreement. It tended to develop a relationship level of trust, so when you finally came to the areas of disagreement, and Glenn, let's face it, no two people agree 100% of the time on you know, they just don't agree. You know, we all have our own thoughts on things. I'm running my own campaign from my standpoint. We have so many enormous challenges facing this nation, starting out with our debt and deficit that, truthfully, we're really not addressing in an effective manner. We're howling at our military at a point in time where the threats in the world are growing. The number one component of solution is economic growth. And we have the slowest economic recovery past World War II. After the 2009 recession, I would lay the blame on big government. We have all this, you know, $2 trillion regulatory burden. That's about $14,800 per family. We have an uncompetitive tax system. We've got certainly one side of the aisle that's trying to artificially drive up the cost of power. As Canada Obama said, he's going to cause electricity rates to necessarily skyrocket. So there's so many things the federal government is doing policy-wise that is making it difficult for the economy to grow, which means it's difficult for wages to increase. If you're concerned about stagnant wages, look at these regulations that is costing one Wisconsin paper manufacturer the equivalent of $12,000 per year per employee. Think of that, $12,000 per year per employee for just four Obama regulations. That's why wages are stagnated. So that's what I'm concentrating on. I think that's what Wisconsinites would like me to concentrate on is how do you get our economy growing so their paychecks can get bigger so they can provide for their families.
Yeah, that would be good. Bigger problem, economic development in this country or an existential threat from ISIS?
They're both enormous problems. Like I said, you know, Admiral Mike Mullen said, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said the greatest threat to our national security is our debt and deficit. So, you know, when you cannot grow your economy, when you're running these massive deficits, when you're, you know, so much of your federal budget is going to be spent on servicing the debt, you cannot strengthen the military to the point where you need to actually defend against these threats. And they're growing. They're greater menaces. You know, I'd love to see Russia as a partner. We've held our hand out to him. The West has been welcoming, and he's basically slapped us in the face. And so he's become more of an adversary. China is pushing the South China Sea because of our weakness. And, of course, ISIS, they're not the JV team. They're incredibly strategic. They are growing. They are evolving. They are metastasizing. And, you know, we used to be concerned about, and we still are concerned about, inspired lone wolves. Well, now we're talking about directed wolf packs, as we saw in the Brussels airport bombing. And the same thing in Istanbul. So, no, yeah, we may be doing some damage to ISIS in Iraq and Syria, but the analogy I use, it's like you've got a hive of killer bees in your backyard. We all know the solution is you take out the hive. What President Obama's strategy, in effect, has been doing is poking that hive with a stick. It's doing some damage, but it's stirring up the nest. The bees are leaving the hive. They're setting up new hives. And, you know, from my standpoint, the threat, don't take my word for it. Take John Brennan, the CIA director, a couple weeks ago in testimony before the Senate Intel Committee said that all of our efforts have not reduced ISIS's terrorist capability and global reach. They remain a formidable, resilient, and largely cohesive enemy. Now, that's after we're almost up to 23 months since President Obama laid out our goal against ISIS, which was to defeat it. We haven't defeated it. And we continue to see these terrorist attacks increasing in frequency. So, listen, ISIS, radical Islamic terrorists, is a significant threat, but the number one component of solution, even with that, is we have to grow our economy so that you actually get more revenue in the federal government, that you actually can rebuild our military, which currently right now is being hollowed out. You know, Glenn, do you realize we used to have an 800-ship Navy? Right now we're below 300 ships. I mean, think about that for a minute. You know, I don't think people really are aware of how incredibly hollowed out our military is becoming because of a lack of commitment to actually having a strong military.
He is Senator Ron Johnson. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN's Community Conversation. What do you think Donald Trump means by the military is a disaster?
Well, again, I believe he's looking at the facts. Like I just said, what we used to have an 800-ship Navy in the 60s is down below 300 ships. We have no capability of fighting a two-front war anymore. You know, we have reduced numbers. We have airplanes that can't fly. We can't do adequate training. So let's face it, with the problems in the Middle East, the finest among us, the very small percentage of America, and the, you know, those men and women in our military and their families are bearing the full burden of defending our freedom. They're getting pretty war weary. I mean, I understand that. That's why they need help. They need greater support out of this administration, out of policymakers.
Secretary of State Kerry says that global warming is as big a problem as radical Islamic terrorism. What would you say to the Secretary of State?
That he's crazy.
Crazy?
I mean, you know, Glenn, let's face it. 20,000 years ago, most of Wisconsin was covered by a 20,000-foot thick glacier.
I'd have to ask Tom Carco about that. I think he might have been covering that at the time.
Well, again, 20,000. So there are larger forces at play. Listen, man can affect the environment, no doubt about it. We all want a clean environment. It's a goal we all share. I understand that.
Yeah, but if we have economic development, it's going
to say that, you know, first of all, the climate hasn't warmed in quite a few years. I mean, that is proven scientifically. So that's why they've changed the terminology from global warming to climate change.
Right.
That covers everything. The climate has always changed. It always will. You take a look at things like the Vostok ice core sample out of Antarctica. It basically catalogs 400,000 years of temperature history, and we've had temperature variations 22.7 degrees. Now, men and women, you know, there were some back then. You know, there were men and women 20,000 years ago, but not enough building campfires to produce CO2 to cause those glaciers to recede or to cause those temperature swings. There are greater forces at play. The question is, you know, how much does man cause changes in our environment, potentially our climate, and what could we even possibly do about it? So what we need to do is we need to grow our economy so you have a strong economy so we can actually afford the kind of pollution controls that we all desire so we have a clean environment. I mean, where you don't have a strong economy, look at China, look at India. You know, they are massive polluters because they don't have the type of economic affluence America has. So, again, I go back to the number one component of a solution for all these problems is economic growth, and so much of the policies of this administration, the overregulation, the uncompetitive tax system, I would say the desire to artificially drive up the cost of power makes us less competitive globally, which harms economic growth, which harms your paycheck. So, again, I'll go back to economic growth as the number one solution. I don't think global warming is the number one problem. I would take a look at stagnant wages. I would take a look at the threats of ISIS and our hollowed-out military. But, you know, listen, I'm chairman of Homeland Security Government Affairs. I can talk about other risks as well. Our electrical grid, you know, much of our infrastructure is vulnerable to cyber attack. That's a huge problem. Our borders are completely unsecure. That's a problem in terms of if we want to fix our immigration system. It certainly is a problem in terms of public health and safety as we see drug-resistant strains of tuberculosis and other diseases coming to this country. And it's a threat to national security. If you're concerned about ISIS operatives coming into America, I'd be more concerned about them coming through our porous southern border than any other method of coming into this country. So we have enormous challenges. We need to start talking about these. We have to start leveling with voters in terms of what these challenges are. And then I would say immediately start talking about the number one component of the solution is economic growth, which we are not even coming close to realizing the full potential of this economy.
So what you're saying is that air conditioning isn't on the level of a threat as the Islamic State?
No.
What are these guys thinking? I mean, what do you think is, you know, they talk about how this is defined and decided science, that 97% of scientists agree with climate change that is created by mankind. But when science is decided, it's 100% of scientists. Why do you think that they are so driven to impose these kind of strict regulations and have what now even Bernie Sanders is talking about, not just social justice, but environmental justice, as though the environment is a special interest in and of itself?
For some reason, liberals and progressives, socialists, communists, want to control everything. They want to control your life. I come from the different ideology, that of our founding fathers, about individual liberty and a limited government. You know, that protects your rights, you know, that provides the type of security, safety, you know, understands the top priority government is defending this nation and keeping our homeland safe. You know, again, I can't put my mind into the head of a liberal progressive that wants to tell you what kind of health care to buy, where to send your child to school. I mean, I just don't get that. I actually have faith in people to make those decisions themselves. But, you know, the whole climate change debate gives, and there are all kinds of quotes from adherents of and promoters of climate change. The reason they're doing it is it's just such a great opportunity to control, you know, pretty much government,
but
control your lives.
But
I mean, again, I don't know why they want to do it. There's an arrogance of power there. They're utopians. They really think they can create heaven on earth, and where it's failed in the past, those people like Stalin and Chavez and the Castros, the nutcases in North Korea. By the way, if you want equal results, you'll go to North Korea. You have equal misery. But the arrogance of liberal progressives is that they're just a lot smarter and better angels than the Stalins and the Chavez and the Castros of the world. And if they give them all the control and they control your life, they're going to do a great job of it. Well, it just isn't true. Socialism, communism results in totalitarianism. They result in the murder of tens of millions of people. It always ends in misery. Look what's happened in Venezuela right now. You know, you had Chavez, you know, a great socialist going to promise all these things to the poor people. Now the poor people are riding in the streets because they can't get basic foodstuffs. So socialism is a failed economic model. I have no idea why Americans, there's so many of them, are attracted to somebody like a Bernie Sanders who's just completely wrong in terms of his economic model that he's promoting.
Well, your opponent for your seat, who held the seat before you did, Russ Feingold, is certainly in the Bernie Sanders camp economically. Are you comparing Russ Feingold's philosophy to Hugo Chavez?
It's socialism. I mean, when you want to take control and you want to tell people how to run their lives, that's an economic model that simply fails. Let's face it, Senator Feingold was the deciding vote on Obamacare. That hasn't worked out. It didn't protect patients. It didn't make care more affordable. But that didn't go far enough, Senator Feingold. He actually wanted a single-payer system. And Glenn, we know what a single-payer system looks like now. It's called the VA healthcare system. I don't think most Americans want the problems within the VA healthcare system transferred into their healthcare system. But that's what Senator Feingold wants. He wants to control our healthcare system. I would just ask the citizens of Wisconsin to ask themselves a pretty simple question. What did he do during his more than 30-year career in politics? What did he ever accomplish? What did he ever accomplish in 18 years in the United States Senate? He was never chairman of committee. I know he passed campaign finance reform.
McCain-Feingold.
Which a lot of it's been ruled unconstitutional. It's been an abject failure.
Well.
But he never accomplished anything else. And I guess I just ask people to ask him, what did you do? Why do you want to go back? I mean, how many more years do you want to serve? 18 years was enough in the United States Senate? Between the two of us. I actually ran a business. I've been part of the private sector. I know how hard business is. I know how much harder government makes it to run a business. All Senator Feingold knows is how to grow government and take more and more control over your life.
So your answer to is Senator Russ Feingold, former Senator Russ Feingold's economic formula akin to Hugo Chavez, your answer is in the affirmative.
It's a form of socialism.
Is that a yes?
They want to have government take over more and more of the economy, like in healthcare. Again, I'm not, in terms of the exact label, but let's face it, Bernie Sanders is an avowed socialist. Look at what he's promoting, and pretty much Senator Feingold's on board with all those things.
And look at how successful Bernie Sanders was in this state. How concerned are you that the intensity and the support and the enthusiasm that Bernie Sanders engendered here in Wisconsin is going to run over to Russ Feingold coming up in November?
I'm highly concerned that our young people would not provide the education so they understand what economic models work and what economic models completely failed. Socialism, communism, growing government. When you grow government, your freedoms necessarily recede. Our founders were geniuses. They came from dictatorial monarchies and aristocracies. They knew as government grew, our freedoms receded, which is why they set up a form of government that was supposed to limit government. Government's pretty much out of control. I mean, we're on a path. We're $19 trillion in debt already. We've already mortgaged our children's future. Over the next 30 years, the projected deficit's $103 trillion. $103 trillion. The entire net private asset base of America is $101 trillion. So I've just shown you how unsustainable our debt is, and yet you got Bernie Sanders and Senator Feingold. They just keep promising more big government programs, got no way to pay for them. They'll continue that mortgaging of our children's future. So it's a failed economic model, and the fact that more of our citizens don't understand that they were actually attracted to and voted for an avowed socialist, because that's what Bernie Sanders is, should really cause all of us to really scratch our heads and go, what is wrong with our education system where we're not pointing out that Stalin and Lenin and Hugo Chavez and Castro and the crazies over North Korea have imposed an economic model that is a miserable failure. If we try it here, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. So, yeah, I'm highly concerned that so many of our fellow citizens would actually be attracted to socialism.
He is Senator Ron Johnson. He's running for re-election against Russ Feingold. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN. So what is the number one thing you've learned in your first term?
Well, I've certainly learned that the government causes a whole lot more problems than probably it solves, and that the solution always is. I've never gone to one committee hearing yet where we're talking about a problem where the government witness doesn't say the solution is more government spending. So that's the solution is always to grow government, and that's not the solution. I mean, take a look at all these government programs that just haven't worked. They haven't failed. We've spent, depending on the estimate, how you want to count it, somewhere between $13 and $22 trillion on a war on poverty. Did we solve the problem? I mean, poverty is pretty well flatlined at 15%. The number of people in poverty went from 29 to 47 million. Out of wedlock birth rates went from 8% to 41%. Now, if you're concerned about poverty, you ought to be concerned about that statistic, because let's face it, single parents struggle to provide for their family. So what you want to do is you want to have government policies that actually encourage, not discourage, intact families, because intact families have a greater chance of avoiding poverty.
Well, I know what else you've learned during your first term. How to take down Speaker Ryan in a goat milking contest at the Racine County Fair.
There you go. And that was pretty valuable again, but it was all about aiming into that little bottle.
All right. Well, be safe out there, and good luck in your travels today, and really appreciate your time.
Have a great day. Bye.
There he goes, Senator Ron Johnson, running for re-election against Russ Feingold. We've got news coming up on your radio friend.
Safety. If you know me, you know how seriously I take it. I live, eat, and breathe safety. In fact, safety is my middle name.